Bad leaders are bad for business, and they're even worse for their employees. Every terrible sports team is a reflection of terrible ownership. Shout out to Be The Ball on King's Reddit thread. Welcome to Pass The Damn Ball. My name is Mitchell Adams. I am your host. You can follow me on Twitter at MitchAdams209. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at PassTheDamnBall_. Follow me on Instagram at MitchAdams209. Vivek Ranadive. We will call him Vivek. Just refer to him as Vivek. Everything that's wrong with the Sacramento Kings. You know, the other day, I was watching the Kings versus Warriors. It was with my parents and a close family friend, and we were discussing about who would you compare the Sacramento Kings franchise to, you know, as far as the low totem pole of other franchises and other sports. And immediately the answer was the New York Jets. Stick with me here. The New York Jets, the only team and ownership in the NFL that got an F, voted by the players. Woody Allen made headlines this season for allowing his kids to influence the team's decision-making based on them playing Madden. Recently, there was a story that came out that Vivek's daughter was having an influence on the team's decision-making along with her boyfriend, former Kings player Jeremy Lamb, who, whether that story is true or not, the fact that the story is believable speaks volumes to how Vivek runs this circus that is the Sacramento Kings, my beloved Sacramento Kings. Vivek, doing business with John Fisher, the greedy, lying owner of the Athletics. No longer the Oakland Athletics. And don't call them the Sacramento Athletics. Condemned if you do. That's worse than saying Lord Voldemort, he who shall not be named. John Fisher is just as evil as Voldemort. But fantasy stories aside, Vivek is helping Fisher rent out the AAA ballpark, West Sacramento, home of the River Cats, Hell Sutter Park. The A's already have Las Vegas patches on their uniforms. A big middle finger to the city of Sacramento. Bad business. John Fisher and Vivek doing business together is like mixing bleach with vinegar. What do you get when you mix bleach with vinegar? Anybody? You get chlorine gas, aka poison. Poison. A year ago, I was working for the Sacramento Kings. I was an ambassador who at that time, ambassadors, whether you worked for the Kings 1 year or worked for their franchise going back 20 years to the Arco Arena days, we were all being treated the same, underpaid, no union. And I've heard through the grapevine now that there is a union, it's not necessarily the most employee-friendly union. The Sacramento Kings won Team of the Year in 2023-2024 season, the year that I was working as an ambassador, meaning the NBA acknowledged the Kings as having the best customer service and in-game experience. Well-deserved, if I may say so myself. With everybody that works hard there, everybody that's paid their dues, everybody that provides a great customer service and an amazing experience at the Golden One Center, besides just basketball games, concerts, events, communities, all of that stuff. The Kings sold out every game last season. They didn't make the playoffs. Still over 16,000 loud, passionate fans who breathe purple, black, and white showed up to root loudly for their Sacramento Kings. That's what Kings fans do. The ambassadors, my crew, set that standard. And Vivek, shocking, would care less. From his perspective, just he sees it as doing the city a favor because he's providing jobs, creating positions that no other NBA team has. No other NBA team has ambassadors. Regardless of the result on the court of the Sacramento team's basketball, attending a game and a concert at the Golden 1 Center is always a great time. Who gets the credit? Vivek. Who gets the blame? I understand there should be a grateful attitude towards Vivek for saving the Kings from leaving to go to Seattle. But how long will his debacle of decision-making and toxic work environment continue to justify him being an embarrassment of leadership and constantly setting back the team's progression? There's no doubt this dude's passionate. I'm not questioning this man's passion or motivation to want this Sacramento Kings team to win. But where's the accountability? Where is him as a businessman putting his own ego aside, recognizing, oh, maybe what I'm doing is not best for the franchise? 5 steps forward, 10 steps back. The Not Like Us video with DeMar DeRozan welcoming him to Sacramento, that was cringe. And he's done other cringe videos, TikToks, whatever. It's just cringe. Kevin Huerter never played the same when Vivek tried openly trading him to the Raptors. Raptors were visiting Sacramento. They were having meetings. This was right before the trade deadline in 2024. And he threw a tantrum so loudly, Vivek did, that you could hear him in the halls of the Golden 1 Center. I was working that shift. I was not in the halls. I was working up where the game was. But damn, did word spread like a wildfire about his actions. Something was off with that Kings team chemistry last season. And the focus was not all there. We all saw it as Kings fans. We all saw it. The constant free throw missing. The lack of focus. Mike Brown coaching these boys and they're just not being locked in. And we saw how that continued to be a terrible practice of actions in this last season. You can't fire the owner. Vivek deserves a big portion of the blame pie. We have this big pie. Vivek deserves a big portion of blame. Again, you can't fire the owner. But an owner can hold accountability, which that lacks from him, accountability. That lacks more than the Kings' playoff appearances. As a former co-worker of mine described, the Golden 1 is Vivek's palace, and we are nothing but mere servants. Speaking of lack of Kings playoff appearances, on May 31st, it will mark 12 years since Vivek gained ownership of the Kings. 12 years. One playoff appearance, and a whole lot of guards drafted. The irony, these guards, Tyrese Halliburton, De'Aaron Fox, Davion Mitchell, all got traded away. And now the Kings look like a stagnant mess without a true point guard. The Kings' winning percentage since Vivek took over is 0.421. 421 winning percentage. That's below 500. So I was curious, fun little exercise over the last 12 seasons. What teams have a lower winning percentage than the Sacramento Kings in that time frame. All right, let's start. There are a total of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams with lower winning percentages. That may seem shocking, but when you think about it, the Kings have not always had the worst record, but they also haven't made the playoffs. They've just been stagnantly in that middle of gray area, abyss. You're not getting a high draft lottery pick that's going to help change your franchise, but you're also not making the playoffs. Team number one, this team has had the lowest winning percentage. Can you take a guess? Da-na-na-na-na-na. Final answers, Philadelphia 76ers. 0.273 winning percentage. Yikes. This isn't surprising. Trust the process. That's been a whole thing for years. I mean, they had a terrible record for many, many years, even when Embiid was on the team. It wasn't until recently that the Sixers started making the playoffs again. Embiid was an MVP. Their last Eastern Conference Finals appearance was 2001. The Kings have more recently been to a conference final than the Philadelphia 76ers. And now ownership is overpaying Paul George, and they just gave Embiid the most, one of the most questionable extensions of all time. So, not really shocking the Sixers are lower than the Kings. However, they still have recently made the playoffs and have had an MVP. Number two, the Hornets. 365 winning percentage. And in 2013, they weren't even the Hornets. They were the Bobcats. Do you remember that 2013 roster? That team was 43-39. Al Jefferson, Ben Gordon, Luke Ridenour, Kemba Walker, Ramon Sessions, Michael Kidd, Gilchrist. What a time. The Bobcats. Now the Hornets. But they have LaMelo Ball. For now, I think he might be traded. Next, Pelicans, 374 winning percentage. Not good. And this team is kind of a debacle in itself. Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, though, they've at least had a lot more excitement. They didn't even become a team until 2013. Pelicans, because remember, New Orleans was originally the Jazz, if we want to get really, really talk about the history of New Orleans, and now they're in Utah. There's not a lot of Jazz in Utah, so New Orleans Jazz makes a lot more sense. But anyway, that's a conversation for another time. I digress. Pelicans, because the Hornets were in New Orleans for a little bit before going back to Charlotte. Then the Pelicans, 2013, so in their 12 seasons, they made the playoffs multiple times. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Drew Holiday. That team was a damn good team. It's unfortunate that Boogie Cousins got injured. Next team, Utah Jazz. 377 winning percentage. The tanking Utah Jazz. But they had a solid playoff run with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And at least they were a one seed in that time. They're tanking right now. They're probably going to get Cooper Flagg. And Danny Ainge has a whole lot of draft picks. And the Utah Jazz future is looking up. Number five, the OKC Thunder. 386 winning percentage. That winning percentage is a reflection of after the Kevin Durant, Harden, Westbrook teams. They went into tank mode similar to what the Jazz are doing right now. And look how it worked out for them. They got a stud of a team. Loaded everywhere. Big 3-and-D wings. Big centers. And they have SGA. Who's going to win the MVP if it's unless Jokic wins another. Either way, that's a top two MVP candidate this season. So the Oklahoma City Thunder, number one seed in the West. They're fine. They're going to do great. Next team, six, Phoenix Suns. 394 winning percentage, but they have at least made the finals a couple seasons ago. They're going downhill now. They have KD. They have Devin Booker. They went through a whole terrible ownership transition in themselves. And their new owner, he hasn't really shown that he's the best at making decisions. But the Phoenix Suns, as long as they have Devin Booker, which they don't plan on trading that man, that's the cornerstone piece, they're going to have a shot at least making the playoffs every year. Again, lower winning percentage than the Kings, but they've at least been to the finals. Kings and Suns fans can really empathize with one another. It's crazy. All right, next, the San Antonio Spurs at 7, 413 winning percentage. It's expected after the glory years of Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, and then how Kawhi just left the Spurs, they wouldn't be good for a while. But guess what? They got Wembanyama. They tanked. They were not good. They weren't relevant for many seasons, and they got Wemby. And wow, they just traded for De'Aaron Fox. So they're going to be relevant again for a long time. Great. Next, this one might shock you. Number 8. The LA Lakers. 415 winning percentage. As shocking as this may be, it's the same as the Spurs, right? After the glory years of Kobe, team was in the dumps. Clippers were more relevant from a winning percentage perspective, not a championship. Because those Clippers teams, Clippers aren't on this list in the last 12 years. Clippers have been really good at winning in the regular season. You know, because you had the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan teams, and then the Kawhi and Paul George teams all back to back. So the Lakers, they were terrible for years. And then, of course, Mr. LeBron James, who? The King? Shows up, they get AD, they win a chip in the bubble. Cool, you can argue, oh, it's a bubble chip. A chip is a chip at the end of the day. They still got a chip. And wow, breaking news, they just traded for Luka. By the way, Luka, that's a player that the Kings passed on, but we won't get into that. Pistons. The last team before the Kings, 418 winning percentage. Again, the Kings have 421. This franchise has been completely irrelevant for the last 12 years. But guess what? This year, they are the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference Finals. This year, they are up and coming. They have Cade Cunningham, who is already looking like a top 10 NBA player and currently has the Pistons in the sixth seed. Pistons are going to be fine. So the point I'm making in all this winning percentage, it's looking bleak in Sacramento. You finally found a coach in Mike Brown that brought a sense of calm stability, something this franchise has not felt since the Rick Adelman days, and you fire him. The result of the firing is the straw that broke the camel's back for Fox, who wanted to leave after that. That was it. After spending 8 years in this toxic environment, proudly putting the Kings on his back. Don't give De'Aaron Fox shit, Kings fans. This man did a lot. He really did. He put up with a lot of bullshit. Kings GM, Monty McNair, cool. Easy to blame him and Wes. They get all the blame. Point the finger at him at the press conference weeks later because ownership didn't have the balls to do it immediately like most healthily run franchises to do a press conference after the firing of Mike Brown and after trading De'Aaron Fox. No, they waited weeks. Monty McNair took all the blame. That's fine. But where was Vivek taking that blame with you? Don't get it twisted. McNair is a puppet, and Vivek is the puppeteer. By the way, the team with the highest winning percentage since Vivek took over. Can you guess? Da na 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 da na na. This team got 4 championships. 612 winning percentage. 612. Golden State Warriors. Kings passed up on both Curry and Klay, by the way. Crosstown rival Warriors. While the Kings, terrible ownership. Everything that's wrong with what the Sacramento Kings are. Everything that's wrong with the Sacramento Kings. Vivek. Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Would you pass the damn ball?